Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
I'm talking about straining for that logo on the side of your helmet and not the name on your back.
Yes, sir.
Because we know what it represents. It represents everybody here you see and everybody you can't that we've talked about. I'm here to strain with you, man. I swear to God, I'm here to strain with you. Let's go. Everything you got, strain with everything you got. Let's go. Bills on three. One, two, three. Bills.
You're listening to the Off Tackle with John Fita Show with your host, Joe Miller. Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Off Tackle with John Fita Show, brought to you by Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. My name is Joe Miller, the host of this year's show, and that over there is the man of the hour, the one, the only, John Fita. John, how are you feeling?
I went with the Buffalo Trace. Just, you know, Widow Jane is too good for the day and the night that we had. So I went with the lesser of my two favorite bourbons. So Buffalo Trace over Widow Jane. Much like last night after the game, I watched Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Which is the worst movie, but I felt like it's, you know, the game was a kick in the gonads. So I just followed it up with the other foot to the gonads and watched Interstellar.
Yes, it's here we are, right? So I think that's pretty much how we would.
So I don't even want to be here.
Same. So show over. So let's run the promo.
And look at me. I wore black all day, like a 105-year-old Sicilian widow whose husband died when she was 33. I had a freaking veil on. I was doing the rosary every day.
That cloth and ash, like the whole thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the show. We are excited that you are here. To everybody that is piling into the comment section, thank you so much for being here. If you are on Twitter or Facebook, please jump over to YouTube. We are Super Chat Live. You can comment at us. If you want to get John's attention and my attention, if you got a question, comment, concern, whatever, you can Super Chat us, and John will be happy to respond. Also, real quick, very special and awesome happy birthday going out to this guy. So it is Richard Rush, who is a very dear follower of all the shows that I'm on and all kinds of shows. And like he follows most of the content creators, and he's just an awesome dude. I've gotten a chance to meet and become friends with Richard. But everybody in the comments section, please take a second and wish Richard Rush a happy 50th. So he's one of us now, a happy 50th birthday today. So.
Happy birthday, Richard Rush, man. Thanks for showing up to all the shows, and thanks for all your resources and your kind words. You know, sorry your birthday follows yesterday.
With that, what we want to do is we want to go real quick over to our sponsor, and you're 50 now, Richard, so this might be of use to you. So we'll run this promo and take notes.
Picture this. Crystal clear vision without the hassle of glasses or contacts. Imagine watching Josh Allen's game-changing touchdowns with absolute clarity. At Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care, we can make that a reality. Now, in a matter of seconds with Zeiss Smile technology, you can see clearly and get back to doing the things you love as soon as the next day. Visit us online at Ficta.com and take our free self-test to see if you're eligible and schedule an evaluation. Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care. Focused on you. Go Bills!
Go Bills is right. If you are in need,
play it again. Play it 10 more times, and then we'll just shut the show down.
We got like five versions of it.
That was Sarah, right? Right? You got Spence. I have only heard yours once. You never play mine. It must be complete.
The Hump Day
Hotline. Utter manure.
If you watch the Hump Day Hotline once in a while, you would hear it because I play yours all the time on the Hump Day Hotline. Yes, everybody is. We've got one from
you know that. I'm sorry, I don't watch Hump Day because that's during my sculpting class.
Oh, is that right?
Well, I got I was like, this season's going to be a disaster. We were 6-6. I'm like, I need some hobbies, right? So I go to the drawing studio. I got a sculpting class. I go see my yogi.
Karate. You take a karate.
None of this is true.
Anyways, I got to start this show or it's never going to end. That's how this works. You start and then you end. So let me start the show, which, by the way, if anybody wants to be fully tortured, coinciding with the beginning of this show and this show starting, the Buffalo Bills replay of yesterday's game is now on NFL Network. So if you'd like to just turn this off and go watch that again, you can. That's a possibility right now. But it is good to have everybody here. This is, I guess, the final show for this season. It doesn't mean it's the final show ever or the final. We don't know. We're going to have some conversations around what this is going to look like kind of going forward. I'm excited to be here with you. As everybody knows, I did not do my overreaction show, to be honest with you. There's a select group of people that got my thoughts from this game. John, you were one of them, and so was Jerry. I would imagine that you guys would agree that I was probably not really fit to get on and start ranting about those topics, that long list of topics that I had. I just felt like I didn't want to feed into the negativity that was kind of going on.
Oh, I wish you had. That would be something to behold, like a spectacle, a conflagration, a four-alarm fire.
There was a lot of great post-game content, and it was just one of those. So that this is the thing for me, John, and I'm going to need you to maybe talk me off the ledge, but I don't think you're in any mood to talk me off any ledges.
I'm pushing. I'm pushing, bro.
I don't want to be an analyst. I don't want to be a media type. I don't want to be a beat reporter. I love being a fan and being emotional. I don't want to be objective. I want to tell you how I feel and why I'm angry right now from what I saw sitting in my seat that I pay thousands of dollars for and all this freaking merch that I buy. And there was no reason for me to be talking about this game last night or 8 o'clock this morning. I literally was just like, it's going to be an hour to an hour and a half of just chaos, the things I'm going to regret, right? Is basically what's going to happen. Like, I don't know that the overreaction was going to come out of me finally. So now, talk me off the ledge, John. Tell me why it's rainbows and sunshine, rainbows and roses.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? The whole thing. Like the biblical run of that diatribe. And then you want me to talk you off the edge the whole time you're saying it. I'm ready to just throw my little podcasting table all over the place. Put those helmets on, come to Buffalo, get my 3-point stance and drive you into a snow bunker or a snow, whatever, whatever the hell they call that thing.
Snow bunker, snow bank.
It bunks. I've seen them. Listen. You're well within your right to vent all you want, Joe. And half the things you say are going to be right. Another 40% are going to be near the mark. 68%. The math is all over the place, just like your emotions. But you have to let it out because you're always going to be Bills Mafia, just like everybody in the comments that are calling for McDermott's head and Bean. And I saw somebody say, let's trade Josh. I was like, you're a lunatic. Right.
Yeah.
You're going to run the gamut of emotions. The long and short of it, and I hate to bring you back, and I'm not trying to talk you off the ledge, but this moment of epiphany hit me earlier. And it boils down to this. We're a 6-6 football team that goes on a bloody run. And you can't help but get caught up in it, in the victories that brought us to this point of seeing the Pittsburgh Steelers. All injuries aside, all drama with offensive coordinators aside, you're here now. And you can't help but getting swept up in this thing. The undertow is pulling you in. You're drowning in the excitement of it all, right?
Yeah.
And then you go out and you beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, which a mediocre team making it to the playoffs. Can't say it any other way. But you're still on this euphoric ride. you had injuries, and you're just willing to say, it doesn't matter. My euphoria is just going to carry this whole damn thing. And I'm guilty too. Like, I start thinking, oh, well, we got a chance. We could do this thing. Mm. And then I step back and I say, man, our defense is decimated. Mm. I mean, just like pulling guys off the street to play linebacker, right? The rotation at the cornerback position, not having your backup safety. And you just, and I, we talked about it. I said it. If the D line doesn't change the game, maybe I didn't say it to you. We got to protect the middle of the field. Can't let Travis Kelce get the ball. We have to contain Pacheco, and our defensive front four has to make up for all of it. We did say this at the end of the last show.
Checks notes. Yes, you said all of those things, and they didn't do any of them.
And my point is this: you can't help being swept up in the ride, just like everybody, just like me.
It's true.
But you have to have like a pinky holding on to reality and saying, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, they're schemers. They're Patrick Mahomes. Every time he goes to the restroom, a horseshoe comes out of his ass. And we needed something beyond the personnel we had on the field. We needed a collective miracle, and we didn't get it. That's it. Now, that's show over?
No, the show is not over. I think what's interesting, and I'm not really a super emotional guy. You know me. We've been friends. A lot of people in the chat know
Hold
me.
Hold on.
Yep.
Mimi, horseshoes are good luck. Yes. Mimi was like, what does that one mean? You know, horseshoe, good luck. You guys just crapping horseshoes.
All over the place.
Sorry, Joe.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, yeah.
My daughter had a question. She's up here. You're here. And I'm...
And Mimi, former co-star of the show. So, yeah, she actually, if you did not catch Mimi on the show, please go back a couple weeks and right around Christmas time and check that out. It's not doomsday. It's not a situation of like all is lost. Josh Allen broke his leg or blew out, pulled a Joe Theismann. And like, we've got cap issues that I'm being told could somewhat be cleared up. We've got some roster issues, which you wanted to talk about in the show, which I would like to do another show about the roster and maybe some other stuff with you. Again, we're going to talk about some of that stuff. But Josh Allen is the quarterback of this football team, and he is arguably 1B, a close to Patrick Mahomes. And at the end of the day, this just seemed like the opportunity, right? And I know that we had to play Lamar next week regardless, and that poses a whole brand new set of problems with the defense and the condition that it's in. But Pat Mahomes said it best in his post-game speech to his own team. They got what they asked for. And this is what I was saying it. Bring me Pat Mahomes. I don't want the Dolphins. I don't want the Texans. I want Pat Mahomes in our building. Pat Mahomes came in our building, and it's funny because I can take the good stuff. I can take the things that I can convince myself was good. Oh, this was good. And then I can convince myself that it wasn't good. The Kansas City Chiefs held like their time of possession was, I think, half of what the Bills' time of possession was, or it was really low. But that was actually because the Bills couldn't stop them. They were averaging 8 yards per play and only had five third downs. So there's an aspect of like, I don't know what's good and what's bad in this football game. I don't know what to think went well, but I know what was tragic. The defensive line, you've got two left tackles that are not good, one of which has been penalized more than any other player in the NFL. You're in our building. It was loud. It wasn't Lawyer Malloy game loud. It wasn't the loudest I've heard that stadium, but it was loud in that stadium. Like, doesn't commit a single false start. There wasn't a single false start on that offensive line at all. They barely committed a penalty. I think the Chiefs
Look.
Go ahead.
You don't need a false start to be able to expose those two guys at home, and there was enough noise to do it. And I think I love Ed Oliver, and sometimes you don't have a great game, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. But I can almost kind of forgive Ed. I wish that he had done better, but he'd done better all season long. It's not like I give him a pass, but he's a focal point, right? Like, we got to neutralize Ed Oliver. And that just means that the edge guys have to step up. And Daquan Jones has to be able to put a quick move and beat a guard, you know, in a half second. And I don't even know. I mean, I didn't even know A.J. Epenesa was on the field. Greg Rousseau made one play.
Or Leonard Floyd.
And Leonard almost falls into that category of a semi-pass, although I want them all to step up. Like, we needed it. But I feel like Floyd's one of the guys that got us here.
Right.
But I don't feel that about Epenesa. I don't feel that about Rousseau.
Lawson.
I don't about Shaq Lawson. I think our five techniques, our defensive ends, whoo. And I've been on the ass end of this thing the other way, where I didn't even want to go in a locker room. The offense played so bad. Mm-hmm. But man, if you're a D line and you're walking into that locker room and you're looking at your linebacker core, which, you know, consists of like Gomer Pyle coming off the street, and, you know, the carousel of your cornerbacks, you know, I'm getting into that locker room, getting in the shower, getting out of there as fast as I can. I might not even shower if I'm AJ Epenesa and Greg Rousseau.
Right.
I mean, no impact on the game. No impact. Von Miller had more impact than those two guys.
The energy in this football game literally came from somebody that I trashed before the season started and was coming off an injury, and Tyrell Dodson. Tyrell Dodson was playing fast. He was playing downhill. He was reacting. He had a ton of energy. Dorian Williams had the plays that he was in the game. Like, as much as when Dodson went out, I think it was Dodson went out and Williams came in, he missed an assignment on Travis Kelce once, but for all intents and purposes, his energy level was there. He was diagnosing the linebackers, the scab group of linebackers that you're talking about. And I don't mean that in a bad terms, but the Gomer Pyles played better than the $60 million or $70 million in defensive linemen that we had. And
what's curious about that, Joe, is we all look for motivators in life, right? Something to latch onto, to just elevate myself, whether it's in business or parenting or God knows what, crafting, right? Your scrapbooking, whatever you want to call it. Right, you're looking for a motivator. And if I'm on that defensive front four group and I'm looking behind me, I'm like, I got to step it up for those guys, right? I got to step it up for my linebacker group. They need us, man. They need us.
Yeah.
And to not deliver. And look, there are other parts of the game that deserve some criticism. We had too many drop balls. We didn't hit, you know, some open guys. I think Josh did an amazing job playing within the confines of the offense, taking what the defense gave him. Yeah. He suffered a few balls that were dropped. I don't think he should have stretched the defense as he did in the third and fourth quarter. I would have been more methodical, but that's me. But a couple of those balls should have been caught.
Should have been caught.
Those are hard catches, but that's kind of the job.
Yeah, there's a lot to be talked. Let's finish up on the defense before we talk about it. And we're not going to necessarily, it looks like we're not apparently going off the script that we normally have, which is
fine. There's no script anymore, Joe. This is the last season, man. You want a script? Come on. Let it all hang out.
Jerry Ostrowski says, and I want to bring this up for a reason, not because Jerry brought it up. Jerry says, I do not think the officiating was horrible, he says. If anything, they let both teams play, which is true. There were some things that I was like, the PI by rule was correct. I don't agree with the rule, but it was correct. The problem with the pass interference call, specifically in this game, is the play happened, the ball hits the ground, and like the players are celebrating, and it's literally 1,001. 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, and then the flag comes out. And like there, like the defensive players, the defensive backs were celebrating. So when the flag came out, I was like, they're going to call them on an unsportsmanlike conduct, like a taunting after that. And then it's like, oh no, it's pass interference. I'm like, how long did the dude have to think about it? Was the flag down in his underwear and he couldn't get it out? Like, it was the delay. When they call pass interference, defensive holding, that flag comes out immediately. It's like, bang, there it is. And you know, it's like, oh, but what happened? Like, literally the sequence of that play.
I remember a call like that in the Super Bowl.
The ball gets thrown by Pat Mahomes. The play gets dusted.
I'm with you.
The play gets dusted. You can start your count. By count two, Pat Mahomes is pointing at the official, like running down the field pointing because he wants a flag. And two more counts later, the flag comes out. And that's when the crowd started
booing. I know.
Like
your first mistake, Joe, is they don't wear underwear. They go commando. All the officials go commando by league rule.
That's funny, but I mean, there's an aspect.
I don't like any of that. If you can't throw the flag right now, there shouldn't be a flag.
There shouldn't be a flag.
You got to think about it. That was miserable.
If you got to think about it, that was miserable. But even to that fact, like Rasul Douglas, I hate the fact that I now have a bad outlook on what has been an amazing story in Rasul Douglas. Like Rasul Douglas comes to this football team. Brandon Bean makes a trade, and there's an aspect of like, this is the guy, this is the savior for everybody. Like, this is the move you made to get us to the Super Bowl. And then lo and behold, he becomes this great player. And then he gets hurt. We're all like, oh my gosh, we got to get Rasul Douglas back. And he comes back, and he clearly came back early. And he was smoked. He was toast on a lot of plays. And I hate that I have now a tarnished thought about him because of potentially the situation he was put in, or he put himself in, as a player being on a field when he probably didn't belong out there. And that to me was the punter situation. Like, why in the hell do you sign Matt Hawk and then release him only to trot your punter out there who shanks two punts and you've got so much confidence in him, you run the worst fake punt I've ever seen in my life. Like, I've never seen a worse fake punt executed than that one.
I was supposed to talk you off the ledge, and I'm just letting you go, bro. I'm not even throwing you a life preserver. And just so you know, off the ledge is not the ocean, dude. It's like rabid werewolves waiting for you. Let them have me. Hey, Brooke has something to say. I need to break you up.
Let them have me. Go ahead.
All right, I'll read it. Yo siento num después de este pierdo. Mucho dolor. No te... I'm sorry. I feel numb after this loss. This hurts. I don't know. No. Don't care. I don't know what I want to say. I don't even know. So any what-if scenarios could have won us the game. Oh, Brooke. Can't look backwards like Joe Miller. You've got to keep yourself away from the ledge. Don't be Joe Miller. Don't be Joe Miller, Brooke. I think the first what-if scenario happened with like the first or second dropped ball. I can't remember if it was Diggs or if it was
Sherfield.
You know, and I just kind of went, oh, I just had this feeling in my gut. But look, you can't stop Pacheco. You got four of your best defensive linemen up there. That to me was just, I just couldn't take it. They were just driving the ball. You got to make them punt, Joe. They got to punt the ball.
That's it. Like literally I'm sitting there next to McKenna. McKenna's with me and it's the third quarter. And I'm like, If we don't force them to punt, there's no way we can win this football game. Like they have not punted yet. I was like the Chiefs. Like I thought the storyline was going to be the Chiefs go into Buffalo, win the game on a no punt game. And it's like the storyline ended up being worse than that, in my opinion, because to Brooke's point, and Brooke, thank you so much for the super chat and thank you for being a part of the show. So many different scenarios. The scenario was the Bills get the ball back with 7.5 minutes or just under 8 minutes left. And they're gonna take everything they've learned in the last 6 years about how to basically run the timeout of a game. So basically drive that last drive, take the full 7 minutes and score a touchdown like Tom Brady and the Patriots used to do to people. Like, we're just going to go straight down the field methodically. We're going to bleed the clock out. We're going to score in the last second. You guys are going to go home. That was the scenario. And then instead, they smash Cook into the freaking defensive line for the 8,000th time for no gain. Two incomplete passes, missed field goal, game over. And even if they had made that freaking field goal, they got a minute and 40 left. Pat Mahomes has a minute and 40 left, a guy you have not stopped. You're giving him a minute and 40.
Look, that was a painful drive, right? I mean, there were a lot of opportunities to make that drive look better. And I know you want to give Bass a little bit of a pass, but his job was to tie the game, and it was a makeable field goal for him. And I know, you know, you could say, well, Patrick Mahomes will just come back and win it, but you can't look at it that way. You have to look at the moment in time where you have to do your job, right? Stephon Diggs has to catch the ball, right? You have to make a tackle, right? You have to kick the field goal. That's your effing job. And what happens next, once I do my job, is up to somebody else. So you don't exonerate them. Now, any pathetic scumbag that's going after Tyler Bass the way they are on social media right now, I mean, see something, say something. I don't know if I should say this, but we are the Bills Mafia, right? Like, I'm not saying physical takedown, but if you know somebody who's doing that, you know, I think that's pretty good for public shaming right there.
Agreed. I don't even want to bring it up, just, but yes, what's happening there is not a great situation. I don't want to give Tyler Bass a pass, but I don't want to necessarily lay all the blame at his feet either. The issue that I have,
well, I don't think you are, but he deserves the blame for not tying the game, because that's his job on a makeable kick with the wind, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the wind was left to right, but more than that, the bigger problem is the fact that this is his home field. These are the wins that he practices in. He's the one that should be automatic from that distance, not Harrison Butker, who made a field goal in that direction. Like, that's the problem that I have. Like, of all the people, a home kicker of an outdoor stadium is not the guy that generally has the problem. It's the other guy, because he doesn't know what to expect with the swirling.
Well, ball. Except that he kicks on grass in Kansas City, where it's also not warm. I feel like he should just make it. I don't think that Harrison Butker, we should be looking for that guy to miss. And I know what you're saying.
Right.
Look, this game boils down to Josh Allen not playing hero ball for the long balls that he threw. They were pretty well placed that weren't caught for a team that ran the ball pretty well in the first half, had struggles in the second half, which is understandable because we couldn't stretch the field. So the safeties could compress a little bit more. The linebackers could compress, which makes the offensive line struggle more in the running game, even though I think they performed admirably, but you need two or three stops. As soon as we punted the first time, I said, oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy. We need to play out of our minds on defense. And I kept waiting for it to happen. And I kept waiting for it to happen. And it never happened.
That's right.
Floyd, where are you, Floyd? Where are you, Greg Rousseau? Where are you, AJ Epenesa? And I'll tell you, I'll sign Floyd. Is he, I don't know if he's a free agent. I'll bring Floyd back. Epenesa, you're gone. Go back to go back and play the NFL in Iowa. I'm done. Rousseau, you got, you know, you and I are going to have a long talk this offseason. I don't know if you're holding it for a contract year, but what we've seen is not good enough. It's not.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Yeah, it's not great. If we want to take just a couple minutes to transition to the offense, just because we're kind of getting long in the tooth, we pretty much beat the defense in the ground, and there's more meat on that bone even to go, in my opinion. But the defensive line was probably the most, you know, glaring issue in this football game. Offensively speaking, you know, I liked things that were happening. I liked that they came out. And, you know, there's a little bit of a book on the Chiefs that they couldn't stop the run and they had trouble with tight ends. So the Bills came out and they started beating him with Dalton Kincaid. And it was working. Then magically they started using Cook, and that was working to start as well. And then when it stopped working, and as much as I praised them, I think against the Dolphins for sticking with the run until it basically showed itself again, they weren't playing the Dolphins. The Dolphins aren't going to like outscore you in those situations where it's the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes. And it bothered me that they didn't re-find Kincaid until the like half of the fourth quarter was over. Like all of a sudden it's like, oh, that 86 guy's on the field. Let's throw him the football. I may have asked you this question. I don't know how to trust a team that doesn't really offensively win games start to finish. They do a lot of great in the first half, and then it falls off in the second half, or bad in the first half, and they pick it up in the second half. It's rare that this football team has a complete game offensively. And we saw that, I felt, in this football game. We saw them struggle and not be able to adjust.
Well, I hope we retain Brady, okay? Because I think he's a guy that learns from his own play calling. I feel like he's a guy that's going to go back and say, all right, why did I continue to run our zone play, right? We struggled with it. We should have looked back and figured out a way to get Kincaid open over the middle, maybe to get, you know, a little more creative with Stephon Diggs. Khalil Shakir. I got to tell you, I just don't want this show to end without us saying, holy crap, that touchdown pass, Josh Allen to Shakir, great route, rolling left, and the throw, it was insane.
Yeah.
Insane. And we have those people. So Joe Brady's young. I hope we keep him. And I think he learns. I think he has the ability to look around and say, and it's hard when you're in the game to look back and say, last two drives, what did I do? What's not working? Why is it not working? What do I think I could do that's not dissimilar, but I can exploit something else from that same formation? Get the ball back to Kincaid.
Right.
And you're not wrong here, Joe.
Right.
And I don't know if you're closer to the cliff now or you're further away.
But I'll talk myself back at some point. Real quick.
But in the end, and we're talking about offense right now.
Yeah.
Offense didn't really lose the game for us.
No.
Right.
I would agree with that statement completely. The issue was they couldn't stop. You can't look at the numbers that the Chiefs offense put up, what they did, Travis Kelce being wide open at times, especially in the end zone, nobody around him for 20 yards. You can't look at that and be like, oh, the offense lost this game. This was all Josh, or that it was somehow Josh Allen's fault. On your point about Shakir, specifically that play, for those that are listening, and I got a couple points on that. Number one, the fact that the amount of players, NFL players, and then former players that are now media guys are really freaking out about that play, about what Josh did on that play, and that it was basically not superhuman, but it was just the play call, what happened in the motion, running out to his left, and then putting the ball where he put it against the corner that had not given up a touchdown all season is huge. Like, that was an amazing play, and it was an amazing throw, and it was an amazing catch. However, Joe Brady didn't design that play. That was an off-script, come back to the football, follow me kind of a play. So that's all I would say about the Joe Brady play. I'm excited about Joe Brady. I think he gets a little too run-heavy at times. Josh Allen is a quarterback, and this team is the team that throws the football. That's who they are, and I don't want to see 60% runs, especially when you got Josh Allen as your quarterback. I think the Chiefs don't run the ball 60% of the time. The Bills shouldn't either. Neither should the Chargers. Neither should necessarily anybody that's got an elite quarterback. And then lastly, as far as Shakir goes, and I've had to have a lot of conversations today in my DMs just about Shakir specifically, because I was, again, not a big Shakir fan coming in. Not to say that I didn't like him. I just didn't understand why we were giving him flowers on 10 receptions from last year. He played well. He played great. The dude doesn't drop a football. Like, he's a very, very good player. But I've got people telling me today that, like, move Diggs to number two and make Shakir your number one. And it's, I just want to just say that Khalil Shakir is a nice player, but he is not a number one wide receiver. And the best example that I can give people is we lived with Robert Foster, Kelvin Benjamin, like these guys, Duke Williams, these names that it's like, oh my God, this guy could be a number one. He's our number one. He's our number one. And then Stephon Diggs showed up and everybody, Bills Mafia collectively went, oh, that's what a number one wide receiver does. And that's what a one, right. number one wide receiver looks like. Khalil Shakir is great. I love him on this football team. He's not a number one wide receiver. So Bills Mafia just buy his jersey, but he's not a number one wide receiver.
No, I don't disagree with that. And I don't think anything changes. I still love Stephon Diggs. I think what would help Stephon Diggs is, how about we draft a wide receiver? How about we get some? I really want to like Gabe Davis, but I want to like him next year on somebody else's team.
Yeah.
And I think that should have happened last year. Yeah. And where I was all Khalil Shakir, as I've mentioned before, I was never a Gabe Davis guy, and I've tolerated it because I'm not one of those people that says, well, I don't want to keep saying we should have got rid of him, we should have got somebody else, because we didn't. So when we have the roster set, I'm going to root for the guys that are here.
Yeah.
Begrudgingly sometimes.
Yeah.
But I don't disagree that that is the one area of this team when you have Josh Allen – we should have looked for greater improvement, better weapons. And I get it. It was like Dalton Kincaid or receiver. And I think it was still the right choice in Dalton Kincaid, frankly. But next year, we got to draft two or three wide receivers. Williams. I love Bernard. And I always have. And I've said it about him consistently. Terrell Dodson, I was never against. I was always like, oh, I'm going to wait and see.
And see,
Matt
Milano's coming back.
Yeah, hopefully Matt Milano's coming back.
So on the wide receiver, I want to bring up something for you. But before that, there's comments there's some conversation going on in the comment section. If the run is working, why go to the pass? Well, the problem was the run stopped working. There was 10 first downs where they got no gain. So how many no gains do you go before it's like, maybe we should throw a 3 yard out or something like that's kind of, or a 4 yard out or something to mix it up? Like a Cole Beasley.
No, I'm on your side.
So anyways,
I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, I digress. It feels like this year, Stephon Diggs's route tree has really shrunk and it's really come off the amount, like his yards per reception is way down. I got to wonder if the Bills do go after and draft a young rookie number one wide receiver and they move Stephon Diggs into that Cole Beasley kind of like warm blanket role for Josh Allen, where he's kind of like that underneath dude that's your possession receiver and has the ability to break away. Because Beasley, specifically when he got here, was able to take it the distance if he got the football. They stopped using him that way. But I got to wonder if they go and get, in the draft, a first-round rookie wide receiver that has that ability to become a true number one stud, and that way they can literally keep Steph on this team and be effective. Because Steph, I mean, he's in his 30s. He's had, I don't even know, how many, was it six? 6,000 yard receiver, 1,000 yard receiving years. Like Sterling Furrell said it on Wednesday, you know, it comes for us all. Like age comes for us all at some point in time soon, probably before the end of his contract. It's going to come for him too. The question
not,
is
not me, bro. Bourbon comes bourbon. For me.
Bourbon was the answer. The question is at what point did the Bills make a move? I feel like they almost were transitioning towards that this year. Like, let's start getting Steph not running go routes every other play, right? Not being the guy that's doing the deep posts and stuff like that. But
I don't agree with you. I just don't think you can run the go routes if you don't have two guys separating the secondary, right? So
break that down for Tom. Break that down for dumb guys like me, because I've never heard that said before. So I'm not challenging you or questioning you.
If you are going to stretch the defense on the right side of the ball, you've got to be able to provide something that pulls the safety to the middle of the field. And typically you're going to see another post route to put that deep safety in a bind, right?
Okay.
But we never had that guy. Now, I say that with the same caveat I've always given about Khalil Shakir and James Cook. They should have been utilized more last year instead of easing them in, because right. I think Khalil Shakir could have been that guy. You bring Dalton Kincaid up the seam, and you bring Shakir from the backside, and he's running a skinny post, and you have Stephon Diggs running deep on the right. Those safeties are like, now I got to choose, right? Yeah. And Gabe Davis was not the guy. We couldn't get Stephon to stretch it because somebody's got to pull somebody away, Joe.
That totally makes sense. I don't know. I can't imagine Gabe Davis staying. They asked him in his locker cleanout presser in his interview. They asked him about staying. He said he'd love to be in Buffalo. He'd love to be here. He loves this city. He loves this team. He loves everything about the opportunity to be here. Actually, Dawson Knox said a very similar thing, even though Dawson's still under contract. But I think there's some savings there if they cut him loose. But Davis did say, Gabe did say that he's going to wait until March. Like, he's going to wait until March to see what free agency brings him. So you can probably pretty much, the Bills aren't going to pay him 16 to 18 million a year, which is probably what he's going to get, 14 to 18 million a year. And you just, I can't see it. And for that, it's like you said,
I don't see anybody paying him more than 12. I think it'd be a surprise.
I very much believe something is fundamentally and holistically changed in this offensive scheme from the 13-second game until today. The way that they throw the ball, the way that they run the ball, the way that they're calling plays. So he could very easily say, I am the guy from the 13-second game. That's who I am. However, the offense changed and I was a good soldier and they asked me to block. So I became the blocking wide receiver that they needed, and I did that well. All you got to do is change my role, and I can easily become the 13-second wide receiver guy. To me, and I think any general manager would be like, you know what? You're right.
Too many Andrews.
He had one. He's only mid. These are only
last year.
What did he have last year? I don't remember.
He was always recovering from some.
Oh, yeah, the ankle. He had the ankle. Yep, he had the high ankle sprain that stuck with him all last year. You're not necessarily wrong. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. I love Cook. I love Johnson in the backfield. I think adding Nyheim Hines is going to be tremendous. Those three together. Hopefully, we keep Johnson. I like what that brings us. That dimension.
Let Damian Harris go. Keep Ty right. Johnson. I got to tell you, Latavius Murray, I like him. I'm not sure I think you go get another undrafted free agent running back and bring
They've got Nyheim Hines coming back. I don't know if they need to. I mean, Hines is a good player.
Is he going to be healthy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you hope. He hurt his ACL. He was in that Sea-Doo accident, whatever, the jet ski accident, I think early summer, June or July. So he's probably healthy now. Or getting close to it, right? He might not be 100%, but I'm sure he's running already and working. He's probably doing squats, deep squats, right? No answer on that one? Okay. Anyways, when you look around.
Hey, man, as great as the technology is in the ACL replacement.
Yeah.
Not everybody responds, right? Not everybody is Peterson. Some guys are Von Miller. And, I think it's a little bit different. Von's stop and go is probably different than Peterson's was.
Yeah.
But that's a rough deal, man. It's not as bad as it was 30 years ago where they just filleted your knee open.
I remember watching something. It was probably 20 years ago. And it was like one of those PBS specials where they were doing an arthroscopic knee surgery. And they had, I don't know how many instruments inside the knee. And the doctor like is underneath and he's like got this metal rod. And he's just going like smashing the metal rod into the guy's knee. And I'm like, that can't be good. Like, I don't know what anybody's doing over there, but that just can't be. Yeah, that can't be. That's not a delicate surgery at all.
Well, shout out to Uncle Mark Fina. He got his hip replaced today in New York City.
Oh, nice. And
you get your hip replaced, they get you up and you start walking right after.
Yeah, it's incredible. And they do similar with knee surgeries, right? When they do knee replacements, I think it's actually relatively quick recovery, which is absolutely nuts.
Joe, I just want to say to everybody listening in the comments here.
Yeah.
This was a 6-6 team. Yeah. And everybody in the comments, and maybe even you and me at one point just said, there was just too much. We cannot recover from this. The injuries, the OC. This season was a blessing. We are still the East champs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to lose. Somebody's got to win. I don't like the manner and way it happened. But, man, there were guys on this team you can root for and keep coming back for. Absolutely. And just love to death. Some of those faces might leave. Some are going to stay. You're going to get new faces. That's kind of the beauty of being a Bills fan. Our people are close. They're accessible. And our community is tight. And, you know, I'm done with it. I'm over it. No more. Baloney. You're just going to get pulled back in. You're going to get sucked in. And you're going to love it just as much next year until the next heartbreaking moment. Because only one team wins a Super Bowl, man. We're all destined for heartbreak. We don't deserve a Super Bowl.
Definitely not.
We deserve to be great fans, love our players, and just keep rooting and rooting as best we can.
See there? It took you 44 minutes, but you talked me off the ledge. See there? I knew you had it in you. That your heart is as big as that Bills logo on your chest.
I was a preacher in a previous life.
I was a preacher in this life. That's so funny. But this is probably a good point to maybe kind of let this one go. So any further thoughts? That was great. That was well said. And I agree with you. There's times in this moment for me that I feel like I might just be, for a 50-year-old man that's got a lot going on, a little too emotionally attached to this football game or to this football team. But, you know, I think that's what makes us who we are as far as fans. You know, we hope that, you know, one before I die will happen. You've been on both sides of this now. You've been a player in that locker room that has felt that it was eerie. Like the post-game pressers last night, somebody asked Mitch Morse, the last question he took, is it always this quiet after a loss? And Mitch was like, have a good day. He just walked away. Like, you've been on that side of it. You know those pains, you know that feeling, especially to get to the top, to get to the pinnacle, to get to the show and lose. And now you're feeling it as a fan too. It's going to draw us back in. We're all in this together. I was surprised by how many people closed their Twitter accounts today. There was several of my followers that no longer exist on Twitter. So there's some hurt feelings out there. People that
Dude, can you send me a step-by-step instruction? Cause I definitely want to do that. I can't even make this thing work. I have no idea.
Any final thoughts for us?
Yeah, I do have a couple of final thoughts. You know, I like McDermott. I like Bean. I think we should retain them. I think if we had a healthy defense and we put this performance together last night, I might be in the let McDermott go category, but I am not there. I think these guys play for him. They play for each other. I think you got a good core group of guys. I think we were close with the talent that we had this year until the injuries happened. I really think if you took the roster from 6 weeks ago and put it back together, we win that game. But this is a war of attrition. And as a Bills fan, you're fighting your own personal war. You know, the love and the hate war. And I just want to say to everybody, keep fighting the war. Keep loving your team. Keep being passionate. Just as long as you're not kicking your dog, right? You're not doing something stupid. It's okay. It's a good way to vent. It's a good way to come together. So final show of the season. I just got to say, you know, I love you, Bills Mafia. I love you, Joe Miller.
Appreciate
as
that.
Much as you vex me. We'll be back again next year. We'll be back for the draft. We're going to figure this thing out.
And we might be back. We might be back more than that. We'll see. We'll have some conversations about what's
going on. In my heart of hearts, I believe you and I are going to be jumping through a table after a Super Bowl victory. We might be 75. We might be 75. But damn it, we're doing it.
That would be amazing. Just for those that are newer to the show, there's John and I have an agreement that if the Bills win the Super Bowl, that we're going to go through tables for charity. So we're going to set up a big thing in the summertime someplace. And yeah, somebody's going to put us through tables or jump through tables for charity. So that should be a fun thing. If the Bills would just make it happen, we could be benevolent. Is that the right word?
happen was the right expression. I'm all for that.
Awesome. Well, John,
that's all I got, Joe.
Appreciate it. It's been a great year. I love you too. I love the Mafia. I love the opportunity to get to do this. Having canceling my show today, a lot of people reached out to me and just said that they missed hearing my voice after a loss like this. So I apologize to everybody. It probably wouldn't have been healthy for any of us. And I would hate to plant thoughts in somebody's head that maybe weren't there previous. But I'll get through this. My show will be back. This show will be back. We'll see what all of it looks like going forward and into 2024. Yep. Go ahead.
Danny Kwan, if you light that table on fire, I will jump through it.
There's challenges happening in the comment section. I've navigated a way to close up the show, and there's stuff going on in the comment section. So my mom says she's going to miss you. How about that? See there? I will miss you.
Yeah, give her my number. I'll call her once a month. I don't know. We can do it. We can do it with your mom, just the three of us. Hello.
That's yikes. I appreciate everybody being a part of the show and tuning in and listening in podcast form. For myself, for John Fina, for everybody at Buffalo Rumblings, Bills Mafia, we love you guys. Till next time, go Bills.
Go Bills, Joe Miller.
Go Bills.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.